Psalm 46, God is our fear-ending fortress. God is our fear-ending fortress. I want us to begin by just affirming together something that I'm sure you agree with in general. What we need to do is move to agreeing with it in particular and in specific to our situation. The Bible has an answer for the stresses and the frustrations of life. The Bible has an answer for the stresses and frustrations of life. The Bible has an answer for our doubts. The Bible has an answer for our worries, our fears, our anxieties. The Bible has an answer for the troubles that we face, the trials that we face. The Bible has an answer for the discouragement that we experience, the depression that we experience. The Bible has an answer for our hardships. The Bible has an answer for the pressures of life. The Bible has an answer for the persecutions that we may endure. In fact, the Bible not only has an answer for each and every one of these issues in life, the Bible has the answer. And the answer is God. The answer is God for each and every one of those experiences and emotions and circumstances of life that were mentioned. Look at verse 1. God, that's the answer. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Look at verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. That's the answer. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And just so that sinks in and we catch that and it doesn't go by us too fast, it's stated again in verse 11. Look at verse 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. Meaning the people of God. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Now, if you say anything else in those verses, in verse 1, 7, and 11, if you say anything other than God in verse 1, then there's a chance that you won't make it. If you put anything else in that place, any other answer in that slot, other than God, there's a chance that you might fail, you might falter, you might not be sustained. If you put anything else in verse 7 besides the Lord of hosts, the God of Jacob, if you plug in any answer other than that, then there's a chance, there's a good chance, it's not going to suffice. It won't help. It won't answer. But when you put God as the answer, there's absolutely no chance to fail. There's absolutely no chance to falter. There's absolutely no chance for that not to be a sufficient answer. Because it's God. Because He is God. God is the answer for every setback, every strain, every struggle. And I think we would all affirm that. I think everyone here tonight would affirm that's absolutely true. God is the answer. However, when we personally, individually, experientially face those strains and struggles in this life, that's when it becomes hard for us to affirm and believe that to be true. We tend to think of God in those times not as present, but as distant. We tend to think about God in those times not as our help, our very present help, but as uncaring, unaware of our circumstance, not as our fortress, but rather as actually against us. So the issue that we wrestle with as believers, as Bible-affirming believers, we don't wrestle with affirming that what the Bible about what the Bible says about God. We affirm that. We agree with that. We would say amen to that. We would say amen to Psalm 46, verse 1. Amen. That's true. Amen. Praise the Lord. Inspired Scripture. That's not our issue in saying, yes, what the Bible says is true. Our issue is affirming that what the Bible says about God is absolutely true and it's applicable when we are in trouble. When we are facing this in life. It's applicable and real for us. It applies to me. We believe that the Bible is inspired, but do we believe that the Bible is sufficient? That it actually applies, that it actually works in our lives, that God is actually relating to us as the Bible says He's relating to us. We believe that the Bible is absolutely true, but do we believe that it applies in our life, that it actually works that way Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, death, cancer, bankrupt, loss of employment, divorce, whatever it may be. The issue isn't that we don't believe the Bible. The issue is believing the Bible is true for me in the very circumstance that I face today. That's precisely where the fight of faith takes place. It doesn't take place when we read the Bible for a quiet time. It takes place later during the day when we face that struggle, face that temptation, face that heartache, that hardship. It starts right there to believe what we just read is true right then and there. And not just words on a page in an old book. Let's see how Psalm 46 may help us apply God's word to our hearts and our lives in this area of fear and worry and doubt and anxiety. As I said this morning, the reason why these themes are so common in the Psalms is because they're so common in life. The Psalms are by believers for believers. They're for life. They're for living out our faith in life. It's what these Psalms are singing about. So number one, verses 1-3, with God as our fortress, we need not fear. With God as our fortress. Now, any other fortress, you got cause to fear. But with God as our fortress, we need not fear. And the opening verse of Psalm 46 is an affirmation of God's certainty and God's sufficiency for whatever dark circumstance or despairing or difficult or discouraging trouble, whatever trouble it may be, how deep and how despairing it may be, whatever we may face. In fact, He is more than certain and more than sufficient for every single trouble. God is our refuge and strength. God is our refuge and strength. This is the cry of God's people. We belong to God. We are His possession. And if we are in Christ, a refuge, a strength is precisely exactly what God is for us. That's how He relates to His people. That's who He is for His people, refuge and strength. Our refuge is not in a bottle. Our refuge is not in a pill. Our strength is not in our own will to get it done. No matter what the fallout may be, our refuge, our strength is God. And there's no safer refuge. There's nowhere else you can go that would be more secure, more assured, more certain than God. There's no greater strength. There's nothing that you can appeal to that would be better for you than God. And He's already yours if you're in Christ. He's already your strength. He's already your refuge. He's already there. He's not gonna be. He's not sometimes maybe. He is. That's how He exists. That's how He relates. That's His disposition towards His people. And He is also a very present help, not just a help, not just a present help, but a very present help in trouble. Notice how the psalmist says that, a very present help in trouble. That's more than, yeah, God knows what you're going through. God knows what you're going through. He's aware. No, he's a help in that trouble. He's a present help in that trouble. He's a very present help. God doesn't step away from us in times of trouble. God actually steps towards us in times of trouble. In times of trouble, it's harder for us to sense His presence. It's harder for us to feel His presence. But that doesn't mean He's not with us. He's actually nearer to us in our times of heartache, sorrow, worry, trouble. He steps near to us in times of trouble. That's why the text says a very present help. Remember in John 16, Jesus promised to send us the Holy Spirit. He says, I'm going away. I'm going to send you the Comforter. I'm going to send you the Spirit. So in essence, then, the Spirit abides at the time of conversion. The Holy Spirit indwells every believer. In essence, God is always present with us. He dwells. The Scripture speaks of Christ dwelling in you through His Spirit that dwells within us. So God is not only present with us, God is very present with us. He indwells believers. We're talking about this morning being made alive, our spirits being made alive. That's the place of where the Holy Spirit dwells in our spirit. Scripture says the very power of God that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Isn't that amazing? He is a very present. He's not just around. He's not just sitting up in heaven way out there somewhere. He's a very present. He's actually indwelling inside of you. And remember that Jesus calls the Holy Spirit over and over through John 14, 15, and 16. He keeps calling Him. Remember what He calls Him? He's going to be your helper. He's going to be your helper. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Isn't that sweet? Believer, listen to me. If you are in Christ, verse 1 is a direct promise from God to you. It is an absolute, unqualified, propositional, objective truth. God is. Just like the Bible says, God is love. You don't disagree with that at all, do you? Please don't say you do. God is love. That's a absolute, unqualified, propositional, objective truth of who God is. He is love. And everybody says, amen. Well, He is also our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. That's just as true as God is love. That's just as true as God is holy. And now the point of verses 2 and 3 is to picture for us the most troubling and fearful of circumstances that we could imagine. It's picturing for us a massive earthquake that results in a devastating tsunami. The earth gives way. Can you imagine the earth? The earth gives way underneath you. The mountain is moved into the heart of the sea, and the waters roar and foam, and the mountains tremble because of the swelling of the waters. This is a massive, earth-shaking, sea-moving circumstance. Now, if you're right in the middle of that, that's a fearful place to be. The picture here is that the world around us, the very world underneath our very feet, is upturning and is coming undone. And everything is being reversed. The mountains are going down. The sea is coming up. And yet, in the most fearful of circumstances that you can imagine going on in this earth, right in the middle of all of that, we need not fear, because it is absolutely true that God is our strength and refuge, a very present help in trouble, even the worst imaginable trouble. Now, here's a question for us tonight. Let me ask you this, and you think, and be honest with yourself, be honest with the Lord. What troubles you the most? What is it that troubles you? What is it that rattles you? What is it that shakes your faith? What is it that causes you to doubt? What is it that causes you to fear? What is it that depresses you? What is it that causes you to worry? What keeps you awake at night? What gives you a panic attack? What makes you frantic? What causes you to go in a tizzy? What shakes you to the core? Think about it. You already know what it is, don't you? In your mind, you've already listed 1, 2, 3, 4, these things. And you're all over yourself. What easily upsets and disrupts you? Whatever circumstance you are thinking about right now, and I want you to think about it. I want you to name it. See it right there. What is it? God is your refuge. Whatever you were just thinking about, God is your refuge. And there's no safer refuge. And God is your strength. And there's no greater strength. And God is a very present help in that situation. That's who He is for you as His child. That's His very nature and disposition toward you. That's how He relates to you as His son, as His daughter. You need not fear. Secondly, we need not fear because God is an immovable fortress. He's our fortress. We need not fear. We also need not fear because He is an immovable fortress. Verses 4 through 5 picture the sure and certain tranquility of the presence of God. The earth in verses 2 and 3, it may come undone and it's going to pass away. But no matter how this world and no matter how our lives may be tossed to and fro in a sea of uncertainty, no matter how many things we might know, no matter how many things might come our way and might happen to us, God is not moved. The upheaval of this life, the upheaval of this world, it doesn't budge God one inch. It doesn't move Him one centimeter from His sovereign throne and lordship. From His sovereign and joyful presence. Notice that his sovereignty is unquestioned. The holy habitation of the Most High God is in the midst of her. God is in her midst. She will not be moved. Notice that His sovereignty is joyful. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Revelation 22:1 says, "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And those who drink the water of life are made glad." There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. No matter what happens on earth, the joyful, sovereign, immovable presence of God remains. The mountains can be thrown into the heart of the sea, but there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. That's not going anywhere. Notice also this presence of God where His sovereignty is unquestioned. It's joyful, it's immovable, is precisely the presence of God that is with us in Christ. A very present help in trouble. That's precisely the point of Psalm 46. This way that we're describing, the way the Scripture is describing in verses 4 and 5, the presence of God, that's exactly what we share and what we have by being in Christ. We are His people. When the Scripture says God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved, what's it referring to? God will help her when morning dawns. It's referring to His people. That's us. The point of Psalm 46 is to juxtapose, to set beside one another the joyful, immovable presence of God with the upheaval and fearful circumstances of this world. The point is to look at 2 and 3 and look how crazy life can become, and then look at verse 4 and 5 and see that His sovereignty is settled. His joyful, immovable sovereignty and relation to His people, it doesn't change. No matter what's going on over here. No matter what's going on around me. No matter what's going on in me. God's presence is present with you. And you will not be moved. Why? Because God is in your midst. The Holy Spirit indwells you. Now look at verses 6 and 7. It kind of summarizes the point of verses 1 through 5. No matter how tumultuous or fearful our circumstances may be, God is our sure and sufficient help. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters His voice, the earth melts. The nations make all this noise, the kingdoms shake. Fall, rise, but He utters His voice and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. That's the God, that's the Lord of hosts who's with us. Nations boast of their power and they're just tottering on man's ingenuity and man's power. But God's voice melts the earth. And that's the God who's with you. That's the one who's with you. Have we seen the nations rage lately? All the time, don't we? Have we seen kingdoms totter lately? And yet, all God has to do is simply speak. And every nation and every kingdom, every president, every king, every army is under His sovereign rule. The Lord of hosts, verse 7, the one who commands the armies of heaven. That's what Lord of hosts means. The Lord of hosts means the armies of heaven. The hosts are the armies of heaven. The Lord of those, the ones who is over those armies, not the armies of the world, the armies of heaven. That Lord. That's the Lord who is with us, the one who is over every nation, every kingdom, the one who is all powerful, the one who is sovereignly working and raises kings and puts down kings. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob, the God of the ages, the God of his people, the one true living God. That is who is our fortress. Selah. Well, what does that mean? That's a musical note in the Psalms. Musically, it means pause. Before you keep singing, pause. Theologically, it means just stop and let that sink in. Stop what you're doing, pause for a minute, and just let it sink in that we're talking about the Lord of hosts. He is your fortress. We're talking about the God of Jacob. He is with you. Thirdly, we need not fear because God is an unconquerable fortress. So he's our fortress. He's an immovable fortress. He's an unconquerable fortress. Verses 8 through 11. Verse 8 and 9, the Bible says, "Come, behold the works of the Lord." In other words, to bolster and to reaffirm and to reassure our faith in who God is and who God is for us and who this God is that is for us and with us. The psalmist says, "Come, behold the works of the Lord." It's almost like, don't just take my word for it. See what he's done. That's the God who is with you. Come behold these works of the Lord. He places kings and removes kings. He forms and dissolves nations. He decides who are the victors of war. He does all of this to the end that he will be glorified throughout all the earth. God rules and reigns all for all of mankind. He's bringing history all to its grand conclusion, to its glory. And he is with you. Unquestioned, immovable, unconquerable sovereignty that makes his people glad. Come behold the works of the Lord. See how great, and the point is, see how great and mighty he is. See how far his arm stretches. See how far his sovereignty rules. He's over nations. He commands the armies of heaven. He's your strength. That God is your refuge. Don't fear. Don't worry. Don't panic. The God that controls the world is with you. And then after he says, after we consider the works of the Lord to bolster in our faith and our assurance in him that he is our fortress, after we consider the works of the Lord in verses 8 and 9, now we listen to the words of the Lord in verse 10. The works of the Lord in verses 8 and 9, and now the words of the Lord. Now he's speaking. Now it's not the psalmist describing him. Now he's speaking to us. Now our refuge and our strength and our very present help in trouble, now he's talking to us, directly to us. The point is to listen, quiet our soul, let go of our frustration and anxiety, whatever storm or trial or trouble or distress that we are in, and just listen to what the Lord is saying to us. And he says, in verse 10, be still, quieten down, settle down, be still. Don't get all worked up. Let it go. And know that I am God. Isn't that wonderful? I can't think of anything more comforting. I will be exalted among the nations. This is who I am. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The one thing that dissipates our fears and worries and struggles and frustrations in this life is to take our eyes off of all those things and to look to God. He's the answer. Look to Him and see that He's the God of the nations. No matter what is happening around us, no matter what is happening to us, no matter what turmoil or fear is rising in us, God, the one true living sovereign God, is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And the psalm closes with verse 11. The Lord of hosts, that God now, the one that's just said who He is. I will be exalted in all the earth. I will be exalted among every nation. That God, that Lord of hosts, is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The God who is unquestioned, immovable, unconquerable, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Now I want you to think again of that thing that causes you to fear. That thing that causes you to be depressed. That thing that causes you to stress. Causes you to shrink back. That causes you to doubt. What is that that gives you trouble? Think about it. I'm serious. Think about it. We got to move from the Bible is real to the Bible is real for me. So I want you to think about it. What is it? What is it that totally shakes you inside out? What is it that causes you to fear? And I want you to place that right in your mind, right? You can see it. You already know what it is. I want you to keep it there, because now what we're going to do is we're going to take the Word of God and we're going to lay it right on top of it. We're going to apply the Word to that. So what I want us to do together, we're going to read verse 1 together, and we're going to read verse 11 together. This psalm, in the beginning, the middle, and the end, it's pointing us to God. We're going to go from the beginning to the end. And here's what I want us to do. We're going to take out the third person pronouns, and we're going to insert first person. So we're going to say, God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in, and we're going to say, my trouble. Verse 11, the Lord of hosts is with me. The God of Jacob is my fortress. Now, I want you to keep that thing in your mind. What is it? And now we're going to lay the Word of God right on top of it. You ready? This is our prayer. This is our declaration for this week and the rest of our lives. Here we go. God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in my trouble. The Lord of hosts is with me. The God of Jacob is my fortress. Amen. Let's pray.
You have been listening to the sermon ministry of Will Owens, pastor of Grassy Pond Baptist Church, Gaffney, South Carolina. Be sure to visit willowens.com to hear more sermons, read blogs, and learn more about the missions branch, P67 Missions. Again, thank you for listening to Will Owens.